Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm glad that you're joining with us today. We're eager to talk about parenting, solutions that we can find to help families reduce the tension, increase closeness, but zeroing in on character that children need in order to have the life skills they need. So the problems that happen in family life now, a lot of times, are because children lack some of the necessary ingredients they need to be effective. So we're going to help them. So we're continually looking to strategize and plan, and today's no different than that. I'm joined today again by Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands, and together we present this podcast to you in a way that we hope is practical and relevant and biblical. So Elena, thanks for being with me today again.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Yes, it's so good to be together again. And I was actually just looking at some stats from our podcast, and it looks like we have had more than 20,000 plays on all our episodes, which is really encouraging to see how many parents are, in fact, listening. And we have a lot of followers on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. So I just want to take a few seconds to thank all the parents out there that are following us and that are listening to us. I would really encourage you to continue share the podcast with those who you might think can benefit from listening to it, and be assured that myself and Dr. Scott, we are really excited and we are enjoying every single time when we are chatting together, and we hope and we pray that what we're doing here will touch your hearts more importantly, the hearts of your children. So Dr. Scott, that being said, indeed, I'm very excited to be continuing our conversation today where we left it off last time. We are in week four. We are going through our biblical parenting coaching program week by week, going through some of the work we're doing together with parents and children to help bring about change in the lives of children and parents. So we will be talking today about teaching. And if we get enough time, we can talk about prayer. And if not, we will continue about that in another episode. But I would like to start by asking Dr. Scott, when you designed this program, Dr. Scott, why did you think that teaching was important? And how did you think about teaching as a component of this program?
Yeah, that's a good question. What we did in order to prepare for this program was we studied the scriptures and asked the question, what tools does God use to bring about change in our hearts? And we identified the seven tools. You're referring to two of them. We may talk about prayer today, or maybe we'll put that off to the next time. That's a powerful one. But today we're going to talk about the teaching one. Now, when we ask the question, why did we choose teaching? Well, we know that teaching is one of the things that, first of all, that God does with us. He's teaching us continually through his word. So we know that's one of the ways he changes us. But we also see in the book of Proverbs that children are encouraged to listen to the teaching of their parents. The book of Proverbs is written to children. And that's why it continually says, my son, listen to your father's instructions and so on. So we know that teaching and instructions are key ingredients that bring about change in people. Certainly us as adults. And what we've done then is try to take this teaching component, break it down developmentally, so parents can use this teaching component with their children, whether they're preschoolers or elementary age children or teenagers. Teaching is an important part of the whole process of change. You never know which one of the tools is going to ring the bells in a child's heart, but teaching is certainly one of those that we want to be encouraging and using as we're working with our children.
That's really important and interesting as well, because I think many of us as parents think about teaching in a certain way, and perhaps we think we need to have certain qualifications or we need to have certain techniques or methods. But what you are saying is that we can learn to be good teachers for our families and for our children, and we can teach ourselves as well to be to bring that that component to bear when it comes to how we parent. How does it work for somebody who thinks, well, you know, I don't know how this works. How am I going, you know, what exactly do I need to do to be a good teacher, or in the sense of teaching my children? Am I doing it right? What would you say to that person?
Well, teaching basically answers the question how. That's the most powerful way that we're doing teaching. Now, we can use teaching in a lot of different ways. So when we're dealing with anxiety, for example, we may teach children that anxiety is this energy inside of the heart. But if we teach children that the Holy Spirit has provided a tool for that, and the Holy Spirit resides in our heart, then we can use this tool of peace that's part of the fruit of the Spirit to teach children how to engage with that peace and receive it. So that's important, but it's really the how. I tell kids who are experiencing anxiety, you can't just go in the bathroom and then you're going to get wet. I mean, you have to step into the shower because that's where, and the same thing's true with the grace of God. The grace of God is like a shower, but you have to obey in order to get under that grace, in order to experience it in a way that will provide you with the tools you need in order to receive God's grace. So grace in the form of peace is going to come in your life, but you got to get under the shower, which means there's some things you have to do in order to receive the blessing that God has for you. So I think parents, if they're struggling with, well, I don't even know how to handle anger. You know, I don't know what to tell my kid when he's irritated, brother punches him. Here's what you want to do. You want to ask the question, how? How should a child respond when he's offended by somebody else? How should a child respond when his anger is starting to ramp up? That question is going to lead us into this tool, and that's why we've chosen it as one of the key ingredients in our program to bring children to this place where they can move out of their pattern of misresponding into something that's much more powerful.
Yeah. And indeed, we as parents are aiming to reach our children's heart. And I think many times we could look at teaching as a component that's maybe more logical, or it has a sort of a way to it that doesn't necessarily apply in an emotional way. And I think that's not entirely correct. I working with you, but also going myself through the coaching program, I know that teaching is such an important part because it brings together so many aspects. We spoke about the different ways in which it helps to bring in the character conversation, and also stories from the Bible that we can think about and we can kind of teach back to our children. We can ask questions. We can ask our children to put things into practice, but also explain, just like you were mentioning. So there are so many ways in which we can actually use the teaching, and it's a bit of a multifaceted approach. Dr. Scott, are there moments or are there times in which you would say teaching is not necessary, it's not the best way to approach a conversation or a situation with our children?
Well, I think some parents make the mistake of lecturing. And I think if you talk too much to children, you're trying to explain to them all kinds of things. Kids have an attention span, and sometimes it's pretty short. So I think we have to be strategic in the way we teach. Sometimes we don't teach so much by lecturing, but we teach by making comments. One of the things we do might be to just make a comment and move on. We're giving children information that they need. Just recently, I was helping a mom understand how to respond to her son, who's 17 years old, who has a cell phone. And he's saying, "This is my cell phone. You can't control it." And so I said, "Well, let me explain to you what that means and how you can explain this to your son." I said, "Everybody lives in society. And when you live in a society, then there are privileges and responsibilities or rules in that society. If you're in the society of government, then there are rules and privileges that you have in that government. For example, the government allows you to drive a car, then they will tell you what you can do and can't do with your cell phone. You can't say to the policeman, 'It's my cell phone. Don't tell me I can't text while I'm driving,' because there are rules in society. If you're in school and you're taking a test and the teacher says all cell phones need to be put away, then you can't say, 'Well, look, I paid for this cell phone. It's my cell phone. I can do whatever I want.' No, there are rules in society. The same thing's true in a family. You live in a home with us, and there are rules that govern your cell phone. For example, we turn cell phones and all electronics off at 10 o'clock, and you need to park your cell phone. Okay, that's a rule that we have in our society, our family. And so in explaining this more, it helps a child realize that they, just because they own it, doesn't mean they have control or ultimate control over it. You live in a society and we have to conform to the rules and regulations that that society provides. And family is the smallest unit of society. So this was just an example of teaching. Now, that doesn't mean the kid wants to change, right? We're still going to have to make some adjustments here, but it is, and use some other tools. But the teaching component becomes a very important one because it sets the stage for much of what you're going to do. And so children who learn things about just principles about life, often it just rings inside of their heart that this is, oh, I didn't know that. Okay. And so they're going to be able to respond better, hopefully.
Yeah, that's very important indeed. And I think it's so true that we can sometimes start lecturing our children and for different reasons, get off a tangent. And I think it's important to be mindful of that, I think, as well as be, you know, like you mentioned, just make sure that we connect the wisdom we have through our own experience with what is happening in that moment in the life of our children. Dr. Scott, I would really like to talk to you a bit about the house of teaching kids. And I know when we work through the parenting program with parents, we have a lot of handouts that we give them to read. And I'm currently just looking at one of those. And here we talk about how teaching communicates the how and empower kids in practical ways using these suggestions. And we talk here about self-talk, a plan for action, to write a plan. And we spoke about that briefly last week, to keep it simple and to work the plan. Could you take us briefly through this and help us a bit understand more of your thinking behind it and how could we put it into practice?
Sure. You know, if we think about how, then we're going to help children develop a plan. Sometimes just a simple plan, like you need to do what I told you to do kind of thing. Or sometimes if a child is whining, then we might say, look, there's two kinds of people in the world. There's whiners and solvers. Okay. If you're going to be a whiner, you just need to go sit down in the hall, think about it, and come back when you're ready to work with me. Or somebody, child comes into the kitchen and starts saying, I'm hungry. Well, that's just focusing on the problem. Whiners focus on the problem. Solvers focus on the solution. So you see what we're doing now is we're teaching children how. So when you come into the kitchen, you don't say, I'm hungry, because that focuses on the problem. You ask, could I please have a snack? That's focusing on the solution. So what we're doing is we're teaching children how. One of the reasons the Biblical Parenting Coaching Program is so successful is that parents are getting specific plans. Now, we use the word plan in two ways. One is parents need a plan, but also children need a plan. So as we're equipping parents with a plan, then they feel more hopeful because hope often comes when you have a plan. And they know how to implement some ideas and tools in the life of with their kids. What it does is reduces parenting stress. We measure parenting stress at the beginning of the 8 weeks and at the end of the 8 weeks. And it's really fun to see parenting stress go down. Even when children have significant problems, of course, we see progress in children too. Maybe that's why parenting stress is reduced. But parents feel less stressed, even when children do have ongoing problems, because now they feel like they have a plan. The same thing's going to be true for children. I find that many parents do a lot of telling their children what? You need to be kind to your sister. You need to control your anger. You need to do what I told you to do. Okay, so all of those kinds of things are the what. But how? How do you respond to your brother when he's being annoying and taking your Lego piece that you're trying to build with? What do you do in that kind of situation? And so we suggest that children need some three basic things. One is you say, you confront. You can say, I don't like that. Number two, you can ignore, because sometimes you just ignore things. They go away if a kid's being irritating. And three, you get help. You talk to a parent or another child or someone and you get help to solve your problem. Those are just three basic things that we can do. There's more things we can do when you're in conflict, but by teaching children a plan, now they can start working it. And when they mess up, we can go back and say, okay, what should you have done differently than you did? And that takes us back to some real solutions that the child can embrace. So we're always looking for the how. And I mean, any problem that we're working on, again, we're using seven tools. This isn't the only one, but we want to equip children with the plan so that they can move forward in their lives instead of just doing what they're doing. So a child, for example, you say no to a child and he starts having a tantrum or whining or complaining or pouting. Well, what do we teach the child? We say, we're not just saying stop pouting. We're saying, here's what you need to say. I'm disappointed, but that's okay. That's what you need to say. So we're giving them a how. We're teaching them actually what to do instead of what to stop doing. This is why the teaching component becomes so important. This is why God gives us so much instruction in his word. It's not just to stop things. There's certainly a lot of things we're supposed to stop in the scriptures, but there's a lot of things we are to do. And it's this teaching that drives us forward in order to grow in our Christian lives. And we're just taking that whole sanctification process that God uses with us, moving it down to our relationship with our children, and saying, okay, let's use the same tools that God used. Maybe that's why God's so successful at changing our hearts. Let's try to implement some of those same ideas with our kids.
Yeah, that is indeed so crucial, I think, to go back to that. And I fully agree with you that it's so helpful and so hopeful to have a plan, not only for us as parents, but also for children, because I think sometimes children can also be discouraged. And I am sure that we can, you know, we can see them being discouraged by their own sin as much as we are discouraged by our sin. And sometimes we just feel so at a cross point and we don't really know how to continue. And I think for children, it's so important to give them a hope and make sure that we continually communicate with them that there is a plan and we have a plan and we give them hope through that. Dr. Scott, at the end of our episode, are there any encouragements or any other ideas you want to share with parents?
Well, when you think about the scriptures, they are very powerful on the teaching side. So one of the things I find is really helpful, especially for elementary children and teens, young teens, is to read the book of Proverbs with your kids. Just ask a question. Let's read through chapter one. You choose one or two verses that stand out for you, because some of them are hard to understand. We don't get them the first time we read them. But if we go through the scriptures and we take some of those things, they provide instructions for life. Remember, beliefs exist in the heart. And those beliefs sometimes get our children into trouble because they believe things that are just wrong. And so when we have the scriptures in our hearts, it helps to motivate us to do the right thing or to think the right way. It changes our belief system. So I think teaching is strategic. Maybe we don't do it enough, or maybe we misuse it by lecturing. But I do think that there's a great way to communicate to the heart, and teaching is just one of those great tools that God gives us to use.
Thank you so much for all these practical advice that you have shared with us, Dr. Scott. And for those who are listening, I want to encourage them to go back to our episodes. We have about 60 episodes in our archive. Feel free to have a listen. And I am sure there will be episodes that will speak to you and your current situation. We are talking about many parenting topics that are relevant. And with that, I'm going to close this episode with the ask to make sure that you parents share, but also rate our podcast. We are going to be easily found by other parents if we are being rated. So please take a few seconds to rate our podcast and share it with others. And with that being said, I wish you blessed rest of the week. Goodbye.